My name is Raúl Gracia Tinedo. I come from I'm a PhD student at the Universitat Rovira Virgili in Spain. And I'm going to present this paper entitled SDGN, Mimicking Datasets for Content Generation in Storage Benchmarks, that has been done in an internship jointly with IBM Research Haifa and Tel Aviv University. So let me start the talk with an analogy. One of my hobbies is hiking. And normally, for hiking, I bring a backpack. As you may guess, the contents of the backpack are relevant when you walk in the mountain. So you will feel a difference if you carry an empty backpack or if the backpack is full of stones. In general, if the backpack is heavy, your hiking performance will decrease. Now let's think in a data file as a backpack. For many storage systems, the contents of files do not really affect their performance. However, if a storage system integrates data reduction techniques such as compression or deduplication, then the contents of files matter as the content of the backpack when you're hiking. So we believe that storage benchmarks should be aware of that. So let's start with some brief introduction about benchmarking. So benchmarking is very important to evaluate the storage systems in a reproducible manner. So there are a variety of benchmarks in many storage domains, such as file system, databases, and so on. And apart from generating synthetic workloads, there are many storage benchmarks that try to emulate real-world situations, like emulating the operations per unit of time or read-write behavior of some systems and applications. However, trying to emulate the data that a storage system actually manages, has received much less attention. So normally, we can find two typical approaches to feed a storage benchmark with data. The first one is to resort to real data sets. That's good because real data sets from real applications are representative. But the problem with this is that they are normally proprietary, and the owners are not willing to share it. And also, they can be potentially very large and impractical to share. The other option that many storage benchmark is to generate data in simple ways, such as filling the payloads of IOs with random data or zeros, which is easy to create and reproducible, but is not representative. So, as I mentioned in the example of the backpack, this paper focuses on the role of data in the performance of storage systems. To show the relevance of this problem, we use as an example ZFS, which is a file system with embedded compression built in. So in the figure, we see two groups of bars. In the left group shows the write times on 1 gigabyte files filled with random data, and the group on the right represents the same, but for files filled with zeros. So also the white bar is ZFS without compression. And the gray and black bars is different compression algorithms in ZFS. So first, we clearly see that there is a difference in performance between writing files which are random and writing files that are filled with zeros. And this is basically due to two main reasons. The first one is that compression can really reduce the amount of data which is actually written to the storage, which increases performance. And also, In the performance of the system is involved the compression time that an algorithm takes to actually compress data. And we also observe that depending on the algorithm, the performance of ZFS varies. So the main conclusion that we want to draw here is that the contents of files matter for the performance of the storage systems, in this case with compression built in, and that storage benchmarks should take care of that. Of course, we are not the first ones to notice that generating data with a certain compressibility is important in a benchmark. So there are few benchmarks like Linkbench of FIO that let the user to decide the mean compression ratio for the data. This is good and is basically done by mixing compressible and incompressible sequences in a data chunk. For example, here we see as 50% compressible chunk, which is done, which is formed by two random sequences and two zero sequences. However, this method has drawbacks. The first one is that generating the data with a mean compression ratio, basically is hiding or not capturing the heterogeneity of data sets. Second, by generating data in this way, most compression engines will exhibit the same compression performance or the same compressibility for a given synthetic chunk. As you can observe, zeros will be compressed, well compressed by most compressors, and random data won't be compressed. So irrespective of the algorithm, all the algorithms will exhibit like 50% compressibility. This can seem good, but it's actually what is contrary to what happens in reality, since the distinct compressors achieve different compression ratios. And the third and the last problem is related to compression times. In the plot here, we illustrate compression times for zlib digesting text data chunks and synthetic data chunks of the same compression ratio generated with Linkbench. As we can see, compression times in synthetic chunks generated in this approach are very far from the behavior of real data chunks, and this, of course, affects to the performance of storage systems. So we face a complex situation where most benchmarks generate unrealistic contents, and representative data is normally not shared because it's not practical, and there are also privacy issues around it. So this is bad for the performance evaluation of a storage system with data reduction techniques built in. And we believe that we need a common approach to generate realistic and reproducible benchmarking data. In particular, in this work, we focus on compression. So this is the summary of our work. So first, we present SDGen, which is a synthetic data generator, which is an open and extensible framework to generate realistic data for storage benchmarks. The main idea behind SDGen is to mimic or emulate the properties of datasets that matter to data reduction techniques. Moreover, SDGen is designed to produce compact, reusable, and essentially anonymized characterizations of datasets. Another contribution of this work is to design and integrate a method to produce synthetic data for compressors, so they will behave similarly in both an original dataset and a mimicked synthetic dataset. And finally, to show the usability of our framework, we integrated SDGen in popular benchmarks like Linkbench or Impressions. So SDGen is built upon the concept of mimicking method, which is basically the procedure of scanning a dataset to extract the properties of data that matter to a particular data reduction technique in order to generate similar synthetic data. With this in mind, the life cycle of SDGen works as follows. First, SDGen digests a target dataset and splits it into chunks. In each dataset, SDGen executes one or more scanners that extract certain properties of data in form of statistics, for example. Then, these properties of data are persisted in a compact characterization file. This characterization can then be shared easily among other users. And this user will be able of generating synthetic data similar to the original one based on that dataset characterization. And this can be done without having access to the original dataset. So although the technical details, of course, appear in the paper, the SDGen can scan the entire dataset, or it also resorts to sampling, which is very useful to scan very large data sets. So this is the more or less the concept of the framework. But of course, to implement a particular mimicking method requires knowing what to scan for and how to generate data. And we are going to do this for compressors. So next, we describe the mimicking method that we designed to generate synthetic data for compression engines. So basically, we found two main properties that really affect the performance of compressors. So the first property is the distribution of repetitions within a file or a data chunk. Okay? So the first plot here shows the frequency of repetition of a given length for two data types, which are PDFs and text data. And as we can observe, irrespective of the data type, what we found is that short repetitions are very much are more frequent, and larger repetitions are quite less frequent. So this has an important role on the compression performance. Secondly, we also found that the distribution of byte frequencies is also important. In the second plot, we observe the frequencies of bytes depending on the data type. As we can observe, PDF, because they are like random-like data, all the bytes exhibit similar frequencies. However, in text, bytes, there are bytes which are much more frequent than others, for example, in the English alphabet. In our mimicking method, during the scan phase, we try to capture those properties to build a characterization file. So then to generate data, we need to achieve two main goals, okay? The first is, of course, to emulate the scanned properties in the synthetic data. And the second goal is to generate data with a reasonable throughput. So at high level, we generate a data chunk, a synthetic data chunk, as follows. So first, we set up a generator that output bytes based on the frequencies of bytes found in the original chunk. Then we initialize a source of repetitions, which is basically a sequence that will be kept during the generation process of the entire synthetic chunk. With this in place, we start to build a synthetic chunk by interleaving repeated and non-repeated data as follows. We take random decisions about if we want to insert a repetition or not. In the case of inserting a repetition, first we have to know the length of this repetition, so we take it from the repetition histogram that we scanned before. So we get the length of the repetition, and we just take the prefix of the source of repetitions that we generated initially. And then this subsequence is inserted in the synthetic chunk that we are generating. In the case of generating a non-repeated sequence, we basically insert newly randomized data, also from the generator. Of course, we also take the sequence length from the repetition length histogram that we capture in the original data chunk. And we generate newly randomized data of this length, and we insert it in the chunk. So by doing so and so, we finally get a synthetic data chunk of the desired size. So this is a very high level over generation mimicking method. You can find, of course, more details in the paper. But let's show some results of this work. So this is at high level also our evaluation framework. So we first focus on the objective metrics to meet, which are compression ratio or compression factor and compression time. And we also are interested to check how close we emulate the repetitions that how close we emulate the properties that we scan in the original data. We employed a variety of data sets. So just to give a sense on the universality of our generation method. And we in this work, we basically target lossless compression based on byte-level repetition finding or entropy coding. So there are the popular zlib and LC4 algorithms, which are currently integrated in many storage systems. But we also tested our synthetic data with other families of compressors, which are very different, like BZIP or LZMA. And in the paper, you can check that for the non-targeted compressors, the results are probably less tight than for the targeted compressors, but also acceptable for benchmarking. So to explain the tale from the beginning, let's see how well we emulate the properties that we first scan. So in this first experiment, we basically show the repetition length distribution, which is the upper plot, of both the data generated with SDGN and observed in the real data. And we observe that they are very similar, the distributions are very similar, following a kind of power law trend. In the lower plot, we show per each chunk, so the distribution, basically, the entropy CDF of the synthetic chunks and the real data chunks for various data sets. And we also observed that they are similar, so SDGN roughly follows the shape of the original data. So next, having this, we inspect what one of our objectives, which is the compression times and ratios of two popular lossless compression, like LC4 and Zlib, compressing chunks of real data and mimicked data sets. So in the rightmost plots, we observe the compression ratio distribution of synthetic chunks and real data chunks are very similar. And also we point out that we can emulate the heterogeneity of compressibility within a data set. Second is about compression time. So one of the novelties of this work is that we find an analogous resource regarding the chunk compression times. So although compression times are normally harder to mimic, especially for LC4 because it is really fast and very sensitive to any variation, for most data types, compression times are also closely mimicked. So the ultimate goal of SDGN is to generate data that makes a storage system using data reduction to behave similarly for both the original and the synthetic datasets. So to explore this, we repeat the experiment that I introduced in the motivation. So in this plot, we show the throughput of ZFS writing 1 gigabyte files filled with different data types. So again, we can see that ZFS performs similarly writing either original or synthetic data. We achieve this even for extreme data types, such as DNA sequencing files, which are included in the Calgary corpus that we selected as a text dataset, which makes GZIP to perform badly. As we showed in the motivation, link bench data is much easier to compress, and this impacts on the performance of ZFS. So for this reason, the write throughput of ZFS is much faster in using data generated with link bench. So next, we want to demonstrate that SDGN can be integrated with existing benchmarks just to serve to them as a data generation layer. We executed a write workload with LinkBench, making use again of ZFS, and in this case, we make use of an SSD drive as a storage backend. In this experiment, which is basically a database workload, we show the difference on the write latency depending on the payload contents of insert operations and the compression configuration of ZFS. As baseline cases, we filled insert payload with random data, which is the dark gray line, and with zero data, which is the light gray line. Then, to fit the benchmark with real data, we also used as insert payloads random offsets of the Calgary corpus and text data, which is the black line. And we did the same with the synthetic data set generated from the Calgary corpus by SDGN. The light green line corresponds to ZFS without compression. As we can see, the read latency of operations is very similar making use of text data and the synthetic data generated by LinkBench, which demonstrates the usability of our framework. Making use of unrealistic payloads makes a big difference in write latency. So let me conclude. So in this work, we focus on the relevance of data for a storage system that integrate data reduction techniques, and of course also to their performance evaluation. We presented SDGen, which is a framework that, retaking the analogy of the backpack, aims at inspecting your backpack to fill other backpacks with artificial content. So you will experience a similar hiking performance irrespective of the backpack that you bring to the mountain. So finally, we plan to extend SDGN to mimic also data deduplication in the future, which is also more challenging, and of course, mimicking the duplication and combine it with data compression, which is a possible future research line. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Vasily Tarasov, IBM Research. So I'm wondering, do you have any numbers about the throughput with which you can generate the data per core?
Yeah. I have a backup slide about this. So I thought that you were going to ask something about this. So in our initial implementation, one of the good things of SDGN is that chunks can be produced in parallel. Okay. So as you can see here, the bars are basically the throughput, the generation throughput of SDGN, generating two different types of data. The first one is to mimicking text data, and the second one is mimicking media files, okay, which are random. So the good thing is that the throughput scales like as the more threads here in the X-axis, we can see the generation threads. So the more generation threads we have, the more throughput we get. One of the observations here is that, for example, generating text data is much faster than generating media data. And that's because the number of random decisions that should be done generating media data, which is basically JPEG, MP3, which is random data, SDGN should execute many more random decisions, so this takes more time. In the other case, we make use of more repetition, so we get more throughput. But I think that this this can be improved by making a good reuse of the random data. So do not generate every time new random data. I think that reusing it in a wise manner, we can improve the throughput also for random lake data.
Yeah, I think that's probably should be the focus because, you know, 5 megabytes per second per core is
core. Yeah, for text data you can get up to 60, and also take into account that this is like a standard machine. It's not like a kind of high performance servers or nothing like that. It's just a regular PC. But yeah, it's something that we can improve in the future, of course.
Thank you.
For those numbers there, is that what entropy source are you using? If that's such a performance bottleneck that you're
what
you mentioned as a possible future performance optimization reusing your random data there on your slide here.
Yeah. The thing is that the current algorithm basically is generating new random bytes every time. So
right. Yeah. Well, I'm just wondering what actual entropy source are you using that? Is this like a libc random call or are you really
yeah? It's implemented in Java. So yeah, basically okay. It's a random library from
okay.
Java.
And is that? I mean, it seems surprisingly slow. Is that like a cryptographically secure random number generator or something?
I think that is, if I remember well, it's like the standard random generation, the standard random library in Java. But yeah, it's slow because you know for every byte thing that you know we have to generate like 32K, so we are going in a, as I showed before, the lengths of subsequences that we are appending in a synthetic data chunks are very small. So we have to generate like a lot of very small sequences. Most of them, especially for the media files, are really, are mostly random. So it's basically like doing a whole process to generate random data. And this can be improved, of course. We have to do this, but you know, it's something that I think that is easily solvable.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Tim Feldman with Seagate. My question is sort of the opposite. My question is during the scan phase to characterize data, do you have an idea of the computational complexity and whether it's feasible if you were snooping data in flight to characterize data?
We didn't try that because most of the use cases that we put in practice were like, okay, you are a company, you have a data set, so we have time, like scan it, and then give me the characterization file, and then we generate. So this should be only done once, and the generation part should be done like many times. But I think that it's, of course, a CPU-consuming task, but also will depend on your mimicking method. So if the metrics that you are going to capture from real data are very complex, it will take more time. And probably for a high throughput real-time system, it will be hard to do it with a reasonable in a reasonable amount of time. But if in this case our metrics are quite simple, so I think that there are scenarios of real-time processing that could be done. This, like, take samples of an input stream and take like a chunk characterization from a real-time input stream. Thank you.